Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. After hearing what Brother Marvin just read, I believe I'm going to preach from this passage. If you could sum up this passage I'm going to read to you, this is everything that Christ is doing since He redeemed His people and ascended to the Father until He has finished the work of calling all His people. In other words, this is all the work Christ is doing throughout these last days, this gospel age, from the time He came until He's finished calling all His people. I'll read you this one text, one verse, and then we'll go through the passage together. Verse 21, Isaiah 66, 21. He says, I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Now what we're going to see here is what our Lord Jesus, our great high priest, is doing in the hearts of His people and with His people that He's called by His grace. He makes us kings and priests unto God. The scripture says they sang a new song and they said, Thou hast redeemed us by Thy blood. You've shed Your blood and redeemed us and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's what every blood-bought, regenerated child of God is and is doing right now by the grace of God. We're priests unto God and we're reigning with Christ on this earth. And we shall from now forever, even when this heaven and this earth is passed away. Now, back up in verse 17. This is speaking of old Israel. It's speaking of Israel after the flesh, natural Israel, those that Brother Marvin just read about. He said, verse 17, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind one in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. God has finished using that nation Israel. He has completed the work for which He gathered that nation and used them. He used them to set forth a picture of Christ. He gave the oracles and He gave the temple and He gave the lamb and the high priest, and all the things He gave in that tabernacle were all glorifying Christ. But natural men did what natural men do. They took the things of God and tried to use those things God gave to make themselves righteous and holy before God. God said they sanctify themselves. Even though many came to the temple, just like those that didn't, they went out to the gardens. He's saying here they sacrifice in the gardens. They're trying to come their way rather than through God's temple, through Christ the temple, through Christ the high priest, through Christ the lamb. Even those that sat in the temple, rather than worshiping Christ and rather than seeing Christ in the lambs and in the offerings, they worshiped their worship. And He said they try to sanctify themselves and purify themselves, and He says they will be consumed together. I know their works and their thoughts. And so God's done with natural Israel. He's done with it. And then He began to say this right here in the second part of verse 18. He said, It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see My glory. Now go to Acts chapter 2 with me just a minute. He said, It shall come that I'll gather all nations and tongues, and they'll come and see My glory. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Lord told them to His disciples to wait for Him. And when He poured out the Holy Spirit on His disciples, they went to stand up there at the day of Pentecost at Jerusalem to preach. And look who was there at Jerusalem when they stood up to preach. It says in verse 5, Acts 2:5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when, look down at verse You see there it says, Jews devout out of every nation under heaven. He said, I'm going to gather all the nations. Now look down here at verse 6. There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. It goes on through that list showing. There were some there from Rome, Jews, Cretes, Arabians, and they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. They heard them in their own tongue speak the wonderful works of God. God began this work, our great high priest, our great redeemer, when he ascended on high, having redeemed his people. He began this work he's talking about here at Jerusalem. He had begun it when he walked this earth. He had begun calling out the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when he ascended, he continued doing this work. Christ is, it's not like when he ascended and sat down, he stopped working this work in the midst of his church. He's still the head of his church. He is the head of his church. He is the high priest. He is doing this work now in the midst of his people. You wake up in the morning, you see the sun come up in the east. John, the Apostle John, said in Revelation, he said, I saw an angel ascending from the east. And that commanding angel that ascended from the east, he said, don't touch anybody in this earth till I've sealed them. Till I've sealed them. And that's Christ, the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. He arose in the east. He started this work in the east, in Jerusalem. And he said, his command was, don't touch this earth. Don't touch this world in judgment till I have called out all mine elect and sealed them by my Holy Spirit in regeneration, giving them faith to trust me for all salvation. And he began that work in Jerusalem. And Peter stood up there, and he said there in our text in Isaiah 66:18, he says, I'll gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. The glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. And Peter stood up, and he didn't preach man. He didn't preach man's works. He stood up, and he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made sure they knew who he was talking about. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you have crucified and slain, God has raised up. And he said, because it was not possible. It was not possible that he could be held by death. Why not? Because just what Brother Marvin read, he came forth, and he established judgment in the earth. He established justice. He's pleased for his righteousness. He fulfilled the law. He honored the law. He magnified the law. He declared God just and the justifier of all those that believe in Jesus. He is the one who did that, and he's the glory of God. All the glory that Moses saw when he was in the cleft of the rock. Whenever God puts his child in Christ the rock, he makes you behold all his glory in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that day he stood up, Peter stood up, and through the preaching of the gospel, he declared the glory of God. And what did God do? He says here now in Isaiah 66:19, and I will set a sign among them. When he did that, when he began to preach that word, it scripture says they were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. How was a sign set in their heart, being pricked in their heart? Like, remember Simeon? When they brought the Lord Jesus to the temple, Simeon held him up and he said, this one right here is set. The Lord said, I'm going to set a sign in their midst. He said, this one is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. He is a sign that's going to be the revealer of the thoughts of many hearts. Everything that's determined about what a man really thinking in his heart is determined by what does he think of Christ. You preach Christ to him. Take all the glory out of a man's hand. Take all the work out of a man's hand and declare it's all accomplished by Christ. And you'll find out what is in a man's heart. But when he preached that gospel and he declared Christ risen, because it wasn't possible that he could be held by death, he declared him to be both Lord and Christ. And when he declared that, God set this sign in the hearts of 3,000 people that day, and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know who did that work? Peter didn't do that work. Those men that were preaching there in the languages they had never learned to all those different nations represented there, they didn't do that work. Peter said, let it be known to you that Lord, that Christ, he shed forth this which you now see in here. And he's the one that pricked them in their heart. He set that sign in their heart. He set that sign, and little while later, by 5,000, he did that for them. And he continued to add to the church daily such as should be saved by having his glory declared through the preaching of the gospel and by regenerating his people through the Holy Spirit and setting this sign in their hearts, Christ Jesus the sign. And when he did that, he told them now, he said, now go forth into the world preaching me. Go forth preaching my name to all the world. But they kept staying there at Jerusalem. They stayed there and wouldn't go forth. So the Lord, our Redeemer did this. Our Redeemer sent persecution. He sent persecution for a purpose, to scatter them into all the world. And they went forth preaching the gospel. Yet they still went forth just preaching to the Jews. But then one day he says, he sent the Spirit and he told this man named Cornelius to go to Peter. Send some men to Peter to come down and preach. Cornelius was a Gentile. And he told Peter, he let down a sheet from the heaven and it had all these different unclean animals in it. And he said, Peter, arise, slay and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And the Lord said, you've misunderstood what that law meant, Peter. Let me tell you what it meant. Don't ever call that common which I have cleansed. And that's what that law was given for. God said it when he gave that law. He said, I have severed you from all of the people. I've sanctified you. I've purified you. That's what he was showing by that law. And so he told Peter, as soon as he taught Peter that lesson of what that scripture meant, there came a knock at the door. And there was those men. And Peter went down there and preached the gospel, and God poured out the Spirit on them, and he saved some Gentiles that day. And Peter said, now I know. God's got some people among the Gentiles too. And then he called Paul and he sent him. And Paul went forth preaching to the Gentiles. Why did he do that? What Brother Marvin just read is he said, I'm going to declare before what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do it, and you're going to see it. If I told you what was going to happen tomorrow, and it came to pass, if I said it's going to happen tomorrow and I'm going to do it, and it came to pass, you would think, that ain't something. You would think, but you know, that might have just, I don't know for sure, he did that. But if I told you what I'm going to do tomorrow, and I told you how I'm going to do it, and then I did it exactly like I told you I'm going to do it, now you would say, he did it. And that's what God does. And here's what he said. Now watch. Isaiah 66:19. Once he had called those from among from Israel, he said, and I will send those, verse 19, I will send those that escape of them by his grace, by his calling, by his power, I'll send them to the Gentile nations. To Tarshish and Pul and Lud that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. That's what they went forth doing. That word fame means the report. Who hath believed our report? That word glory, they went preaching the same thing Peter did. Christ and him crucified. And they declared it among the Gentiles. And he says this, verse 20 now. Here's what's going to happen. What's Christ doing now that this gospel is going forth into all this world? Verse 20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations. That's priest language, isn't it? They're going to bring them for an offering. Look down to the last part of that verse. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. That's what the priest did. That's what the priest did. The children of Israel brought the offerings, and the priest brought those in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. He said, when I send forth my church that I've called and I've redeemed and I've made priests unto me, starting at Jerusalem, starting in the east and going west like the sun does, when I've called my people and I've sent them forth amongst the Gentiles to declare my glory, he says, they're going to bring my people through my gospel, through the gospel of God's grace, through the work of Christ working in the hearts. He said, they're going to bring all my people as an offering. Just like they bring an offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. He's saying that he's made those that he called priests. And you know what a priest does? A priest serves our high priest. That's what the lesser priests serve the high priest. The lesser priests and the Levites They weren't concerned with things outside of the tabernacle and outside of the temple, while the rest of the world was concerned with that and with politics and getting caught up with who they were going to vote for next political season and getting twisted and turned by all that mess. His people had their focus on one thing, the temple.
Yeah.
And the offerings. And pointing the people to the temple and the offerings. And what he's saying is here, that's what I make my people to do. I make my people to be taken up with my house.
Right.
And my glory, and my gospel, and calling forth my people through the preaching this word. Now you know we don't call them, we don't bring them, but in the sense that he uses us to preach the word and does the work in the hearts of his people, he says we bring them. We bring them. I've heard men that'll hear something like that and they'll say that's you're giving too much glory to men to say something like that. I had this. Man I worked for one summer. Wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man. And he had plenty of employees working for him. He had every position covered, every job covered. He didn't need anything done whatsoever. He didn't need anybody else to hire anybody else. But he hired me and gave me a job. And I worked for him that whole summer. You know why he did it? For my benefit. He didn't need me. He just did it for my benefit. God don't need us.
Right.
He could do this work, but he's chosen to do it through the preaching of the gospel.
Right.
And that shows his glory even more. It's just like that deal of him saying, this is how I'm going to do it. And because he's able to do it that way, now you look at him and say, man,
right.
I got something else. Because he is. And I remind you, the God I'm talking about is that same God-man that walked this earth. You see, the glory of his ascension and the glory of him going back, having accomplished the redemption of his people, he went back as the God-man. There's a man seated in glory who is God. And he knows everything about us. He knows our feelings, our infirmities. He knows everything that we face because he faced it all and he faced it infinitely more. We face things and we think they're bad, but all we are is sin and all we know is sin. Imagine facing the things we face and being spotless and without sin and yet having to deal with all the sins of the people he encountered and the trials and the things, the infirmities he had to deal with. So he knows everything about us. So you know what this gospel and his grace, you know what he's able to do through this? Look at this. In verse 20, Isaiah 66:20, he said, I'm going to bring them out of all nations. He's talking about his people, his elect, his redeemed, those he purged with his blood. I'm going to bring them upon horses and in chariots and in coaches. That's what that word litters mean. In coaches and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. What is that? What does that mean? All these horses and chariots and coaches and mules and beasts. What is that? That's all modes of transportation. It's all modes of transportation. Our gospel, the gospel of Christ and crucified, the grace of God, his power working through that gospel by sprinkling the conscience of his people with his blood and by teaching the hearts of his people and rebuking and exhorting and admonishing as he only knows. He alone knows what needs to be done. And you preach him and you preach his glory and you preach his power and our Lord Jesus Christ will do the work in the hearts of his people. And it's this gospel is the transportation. This is the vehicle that's taken us through this wilderness, out of the nation, separating us out, bringing us out of darkness into light, and is going to carry us all the way to his holy mountain in heavenly Jerusalem. This is the vehicle that's doing it. And the significance here of these different types is because this. He's saving all kinds of sinners. He's saving all kinds of sinners. And you see here, a horse is a strong beast. Our gospel is strength. Our gospel is able to take the weakest of the weak, poor sinner, and put him on him and carry him all the way. You got a chariot. That's for battle. You go into a battle in a chariot. Christ is a captain of our warfare. He's accomplished the warfare of his people. And he can go forth conquering and to conquer, and he shall not fail. He shall be set judgment in the earth. Not only judgment at the cross, which he has done, declaring God just and justified, but he's going to set judgment in the hearts of his people too. Yeah. Making us to know the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And he won't fail. He's the strength of our gospel. And then he talks here about these coaches. A coach is for comfort. Y'all going to have to look when you go out there. Brother Don's got a mighty nice coach. But a coach is for comfort. This gospel is the comfort. He says, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and tell them their warfare is accomplished. This is the vehicle that's carrying us through all our sorrow and all the times of mourning is this coach that he's carrying us in. And then you got these other couple of things here. You got these mules. Mules. You know, a mule is slow, and it's not necessarily something that you know, if you were a king and riding and want to show off, you wouldn't exactly ride on a mule. But it's slow and it's steady. And there's a lot of folks, God saves, every one of us, that are proud and ashamed of lowly things and moving too fast in this world and trusting things and running here and there and got our minds set on things. You know what this gospel does? It slows you down when you need to be slowed down. And it's steady to carry you the whole way, and it makes you to be not ashamed. Yeah, he said, my people will not be confounded. They will not be ashamed. You're not ashamed of the gospel. You're not ashamed of Christ. I'm content to get on this mule and ride it all the way to glory. And then there's these swift beasts. Sometimes just the opposite. Sometimes we're in too big a rush, and sometimes we just lollygag around. And we need something that'll get us there. Swiftly, quickly. And that's what this gospel does, because Christ will see to it that he meets every need that his people have through this word. That's what it does. Now look, he said, I'm going to send forth. Now he's sending these folks forth as priests and Levites from Jerusalem, those he's called out. He sent them forth to the Gentiles, and he said, and I'm going to call out my Gentiles from among them. They're going to bring them to the house, to my house. And look what he says about the Gentiles he calls out. Verse 21, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. You see, this new priesthood is eternal. And this new priesthood we're talking about is made up of Jew and Gentile. It's his elect that he's called out from among the Jew and the Gentile. And there's no more Jew and Gentile. We're one in Christ now. There's no more distinctions, male and female, rich and poor, educated, uneducated, all those things. All those things are things that you and I take and use in our flesh, our sinful flesh, to try to exalt one over the other.
Right. Yeah.
And he takes all that when you're all just a maggot. You can't very well exalt yourself over another maggot.
Right.
And he makes you see what you are in your flesh, and he makes you see your completion in him, so that he makes us bear with one another's burdens and bear with those things, and because those things aren't the important things.
Right.
And we want to have this gospel. We don't want to split and divide. We want to have the gospel because we need it. It's life. This is Christ ministering to us, doing this work for us, and we need him. We need this work. We need it. Now, priests, I've talked about priests a little bit. They served the high priest, and they had their hearts set on high priest. And the Levites, they were the brethren. They were the brethren who did everything to support those priests and that tabernacle and everything. All of us are Levites. We're priests and Levites. Those he's called and redeemed, we're priests and Levites. And we're providing for his house. We're seeing to it the gospel goes forth, providing for his people and anybody that needs our help in amidst his people and the preachers for the gospel go forth. That's what he made his people. Now, what's he going to do? Why does he do this? Why does he do this? Verse 22. Because as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. Now, he's talking in future tense there, but when Christ came and did his accomplished the redemption of his people and sent him back to the Father, that new heavens, new earth has already started. It's already begun. You know, it's not circumcision that avails. It's not uncircumcision that avails. It's a new creature, a new creation. And he makes his people a new creation. And behold, all old things pass away. That old covenant, that old law, and that old way of worship, and that old way of exalting ourselves, he took that out of the way and nailed it to the cross, because that's what made the Jews exalt themselves over the Gentiles, the law. And that's all. You try to come to God in the law, that's what you're going to use it for. And try to, just like those other distinctions, you're going to try to say, I've done this a little bit better than you. He took it out of the way. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. So that now we can't use that to try to exalt ourselves in any way. He took it out of the way to make his people one in him. You find it in Ephesians 2. Took it out of the way that he may make of two one new flesh. And he come and preached this gospel to us. And by one Spirit now we both have access to the Father. Access to the Father. Now that's the new heaven and new earth. He said, and just like that new earth, heaven and new earth is that which I will make. You notice all through here, this is all the Lord saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. He's this works his beginning and end. I will, I will. You read out 1 Corinthians 1:21. He said, after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God showed us from Adam all the way to Christ came. He showed from Adam up until to Abraham's day that men can't find out who God is and come to God by their will and their works or anything about it. He showed it from Abraham till he created Israel. He showed it all through Israel's day. And when Christ came now, he said, now, in the wisdom of God, he showed it that we by our wisdom can't find out God. So from then on, he said, now I'm showing you this is my wisdom. I'm calling my people through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel. And it's so wise. What else could have brought you here without exalting yourselves over one another into this building right here to sit here and hear the gospel preached and keep you doing that week in and week out, season after season, overlooking one another's shortcomings and trying to help and what else could do? See, it's the way he keeps his people together. He fitly frames us together and like a body, every joint, you need every piece of that body to nourish, to minister nourishment to every other piece of that body. And he's working in every part to minister to every part. So one can't say, I don't need you. And the other one can't say, I don't need you. We need each other. And when he teaches you this, that's what makes you fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to love one another. It's to bear the burdens of one another. That's the only thing to do. The more you see how much you need Christ, the more you won't get offended when you don't get your choice of what color blinds you picked out. So look here. He said, just like this new heaven, this new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. You see, the reason he's doing it this way, this is how he's going to make all his children be born, all the holy seed be born, which are our spiritual offspring, our true seed, our sons and daughters. He's going to make them all be born that way and make our name last forever, which is his name. He's going to make his name last and his children be saved. He told those Pharisees, he said, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. And he said, I lay down my life for my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know my sheep, and they follow me. And nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. And then nobody's going to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, this is the way he's showing us from these last days when they started all the way through to the last chosen, redeemed child of God is called out. This is how I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it keep going. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if he's not willing, it ain't happening. He's going to make sure they all come to repentance. This world's held in store by the Word of God. What word is that? Don't you touch them till I've sealed them in their forehead. And this judgment will not fall until he's regenerated every chosen child of God and brought them to him. It has to be, because the same justice that demanded Christ go to the cross and lay down his life for us, that same justice is satisfied And that justice is our friend, brethren. Because that justice demands they must be called, they must be given life, and they must be brought to glory. So they're going to remain. So look here now, verse 23. He says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, that is, from one season to the next, and from one Sabbath to another, that is, from one week to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." We had that old covenant light. He took us from that light to another light. We had that old covenant rest. He took you from that old covenant rest to the what it pictured, Christ our Sabbath rest. And He takes you from that glory to this glory, and He takes you from one week to the next week, and from one season to the next season, and one day He's taken us from this heaven and this earth, and it's going to pass away. And then all that's going to be, I started to say He's going to take us from this one to the next one, but this one's just going to pass away. And all that's going to remain is everything Christ created in righteousness and holiness, because it cannot be shaken. It must remain because Christ built it, and it can't be shaken. And that's what He started in His people now. That's the new heavens and the new earth when we're there. We won't need the light of the moon then. He'll be the light of the moon. And a lot of folks now don't know that we don't need a Sabbath day. We don't need a Sabbath day. He's the Sabbath rest. And we worship in Him every day. And when you get to glory and you read about that day when we'll be with Him and how we won't labor and we won't toil and we won't have any tears and we'll be able to rest, it's not because we're going to be observing a day. It's because it says the Lamb shall be among them, and He'll wipe away all their tears. He's our rest. Now look, here's a warning now. Here's a warning. "They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." Right now, you and I, we can look back at natural history. We can read about it. We can look back on it. And we can see that God's judgment of natural Israel was just. It was just. They Christ came, and they said, "We will not have this man reign over us." It was just. Right now, you can go forth in this place, and sadly, you can go forth, and we see this world. We see what's going on in this world. And you can see the madness that's happening. It is utter madness, don't you think?
Yes,
I'm sure every generation has thought that, but it just has happened. Some things have happened so fast lately that I just think, this is just utter madness. And you can look on. You can see what God's doing is just.
Yeah.
It's just. It's just. I tell you this, one of these days, we're going to be in glory with God, and He's going to bring forth everybody to bow the knee to Him. And everybody's going to bow the knee to Him.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody. Everybody's going to confess that everything that was told them was true. Everything that was written was true. Everything they denied was true. And every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess He is Lord of lords and King of kings to the glory of God. And when He casts out the rebels, we don't see it now like we will then. We don't know it now like we'll know it then. But we're going to see how right and how just it is. And we're going to rejoice in it. We'll rejoice in it. But you see, Christ has, it says here, "And for those He casts out that have transgressed against me, their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh." Why is it? Why is it that you and me, who are no different than the worst rebel in this world, how come you and I have been called and delight and rejoice in this message and will rejoice in this message for all eternity? How come is that?
Right. Yeah.
Because when Christ was made sin on the cross, He killed that worm for us.
Yeah.
And He quenched that fire for us. When He became an abhorring, when He became a worm and no man, when He bore our sin in His body on the tree and bore the just judgment of God on that cross, He put an end to our judgment. And it's only by the grace of God that you and I are made to differ. Only by His grace. I pray that God would make every one of us that know Him more, and rejoice in Him more, and seeing what He's going to do. One of these days, you watch that sun come up, you watch it do its work, it spreads its rays all through the day, and it does its work, and it sends light everywhere light needs to go, and when it's done, the day's over. When He's called the last one, the day's over. I pray, seeing what He's shown us that He's going to do, He shall not fail. And seeing what He's shown us He's going to do, that ought to make us want to go forth as priests of God and spread this gospel everywhere we can spread it and just watch God manifest His glory, snatching men out of the jaws of hell and breaking down their gates and bringing them out. And I pray that if you don't know Him, I pray He'll strike that warning to your heart and make you see that's what you deserve.
Yes.
And make you see this comfort and this joy and this rejoicing that His people have in Christ to make you come to Him and bow to Him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. The gospel is always and has always been about Christ. It's not just about doctrine. Don, we talked about that some today. Doctrine can be as dead as the soul itself. And apart from Jesus Christ, it is. It is. God has to make this real to you. And when He does, Clay, oh, it's a glory. It's a glory.